Bloom. Thank you, mistress. Bellow. You will make the beds, get my tub ready, empty the piss pots in the different rooms, including all Mrs. Cho's, the cook's, a sandy one. Aye, and rinse the seven of them well, mind, or lap it up like champagne. Drink me, piping hoss. Hop! You will dance attendance, or I'll lecture you on your misdeeds, Miss Ruby, and spank your bare butt right well, miss, with a hairbrush. You'll be taught the error of your ways. At night, your well-creamed braceleted hands will wear 43 button gloves, new powdered with talc, and having delicately scented fingertips. For such favours, knights of old laid down their lives. He chuckles. My boys will be no end charmed to see you so ladylike, the colonel above all. When they come here the night before the wedding, to fondle my new attraction in gilded heels. First, I'd have a go at you myself. A man I know on the turf named Charles Alberta Marsh. I was in bed with him just now, and another gentleman out of the Hanover and Petty Bag Office is on the lookout for a maid of all work at a short knock. Swell the bust, smile, droop shoulders. What offers? He points. For that lot trained by owner to fetch and carry basket in mouth. He bares his arm and plunges it elbow deep in Bloom's vulva. There's a fine depth for you. What, boys? That give you a hard on? He shoves his arm in the bidder's face. Here, wet the deck and wipe it round. A bidder. A florin. Dylan's lackey rings his handbell. A voice. One and eight is too much. The lackey. Barang. Charles Alberta Marsh. Must be a virgin. Good breath. Clean. Bellow. Gives a rap with his gavel. 2 bar, rock-bottom figure, and cheap at the price. 14 hands high. Touch and examine his points. Handle him. This downy skin, those soft muscles, this tender flesh. If I had only my gold piercer. 3 new laid gallons a day. A pure stock-getter, due to lay within the hour. His sire's milk record was 1,000 gallons of whole milk in 40 weeks. Whoa, my jewel, bake up, whoa! He brands his initial C on Bloom's croup. So, warranted Cohen. What advance on 2 bob, gentlemen? A dark-visaged man, in disguised accent. 100 punks to link. Voices subdued. For the Caliph Harun al-Rashid. Bellow, gaily. Right, let them all come. The scanty, daringly short skirt, riding up at the knee to show a peep of white pantalette, is a potent weapon, and transparent stockings, emerald gartered, with the long straight seam trailing up behind the knee, appeal to the better instincts of the blasé man about town. Learn the smooth, mincing walk on 4-inch Louis XV heels, the Grecian bend with provoking croup, the thighs fluorescent, knees modestly kissing. Bring all your power of fascination to bear on them. Pander to their Gomorrian vices. Bloom bends his blushing face into his armpit and simpers with forefinger in mouth. Oh, I know what you're hinting at now. Bellow. What else are you good for, an impotent thing like you? He stoops and, peering, pokes with his fan rudely under the fat suet folds of Bloom's haunches. Up, up, Manx cat. What have we here? Where's your curly teapot gone to? Or who docked it on your cocky ollie? Sing, birdie, sing. It's as limp as a boy of 6 is doing his poolie behind the cart. Buy a bucket or sell your pump. Loudly. Can you do a man's job? Bloom. Hector Street. Bell.
Well, thank you, mistress. Bloom says. Hello. These are all the humiliation things. You will make the beds, get my tub ready, empty the piss pots in different rooms, including old Mrs. Kill, the cook's, a sandy one, maybe sandy paper to rinse something, and rinse the 7 of them, well, mind, or lap it up like champagne. Drink me piping hot. Oh. You will dance attendance, or I lecture you on your misdeeds, Miss Ruby. And there was that book that Molly read and didn't like, Ruby, Pride of the Ring. And spank your bare butt right well, miss, with a hairbrush. You'll be taught the error of your ways. At night, your well-creamed braceleted hands will wear 43-button gloves, obviously something very elegant, new powdered with talc, and having delicately scented fingertips. For such favours, knights of old laid down their lives. He chuckled. My boys will be no end charms to see you so ladylike, the colonel above all. Of course, there were often well-to-do clients in these brothels. When they come home, can they come here the night before the wedding to fondle my new attraction in gilded heels? First, I will have a go at you myself. A man I know, the turf, named George Albert Marsh. We don't know who this is, except there's a middle name here, Albert, a female name. But that was quite customary, of course. And obviously the gender isn't fixed here. Can be easily male or female. I was in bed with him just now, with another gentleman out of the Hanover, and big office. Hanover is, I think, the stock exchange, or the Court of Justice. No. Is on the lookout for a maid of all works at Short Knock. At a Short Knock is at an auction. Swell the bust, smile, droop shoulders. What offers now we are at an auction? He points. For that lot trained by owner, this is a phrase usually applied to horses, to fetch and carry, basket in mouth. He bares his arm and plunges it elbow deep in Bloom's vulva. What, boys? That give you a hard on? He shoves his arm into Bidder's face. Here, wet the deck and wipe it round. And then somebody bids a florin, which of course is a coin we know from earlier on. And at this point, we hear the bell from the auction during the day, Dillon's Lacquering's handbell, and then was it 1 8 too much? That refers to the suicide of Reuben J. Dodd's son, who gave a florin, and Simon Edler said 1 8 too much. And the lackey rings the bell as it was in the Wandering Rocks chapter. And then this Charles Alberta Marsh says, must be virgin, good breath, clean. Then Bellow gives a rap with his gavel. The gavel is what the auctioneer has, a kind of hammer. 2 bar, 2 shillings, rock bottom figure, and cheap at the price, 14 hands high. The size of horses is measured in hands. Touch and examine his points. Handle him. So Bloom at this moment is a female horse. This downy skin, these soft muscles, this tender flesh. If I had only my gold piercer here, and quite easy to milk, as also a cow. 3 new-laid gallons a day, a pure stock getter. Due to lay within the hour. His sire's milk record, so it's a cow then, was 1,000 gallons of whole milk in 40 weeks. Whoa, I think whoa is the what you say to a horse. My jewel, back up, whoa. He brands its initial seal Bloom's coop. A cattle is often branded that the owner's name or capital is a burnt into the skin and Bloom's coop. So, Warrant and Cohen. Cohen, Bella Cohen is obviously a Jewish name, mean priest. What an advance on 2 bob. Oh, now that's the auction, gentleman. The dark visaged man in disguised accent. 100 pounds sterling. That's obviously a German accent here. 100 pounds sterling. Voices subdued. For the Caliph Harun al-Rashid, he's the one from 1001 Nights who went incognito among the people to listen to what they said about him. Bellow gaily, right, let them all come. The scanty, daringly short skirt, riding up at the knee to show a peep of white pamphlet. His important weapon and transparent stockings, that is what Gertie McDowell was wearing, emerald garters, garters of Aryan green, with a long straight seam trailing up beyond the knee. A bit of the best instinct of the blasé man about town. Learned the smooth mincing walk. A mincing walk is probably something homosexual that they, on 4-inch Louis Gerhard's heels, high heels became the fashion, often 4 inches high. The Grecian bend is a name for a stooped cut with buttocks angled into prominence. Must be some kind of a walk or exposure, don't know. With broken croup, the thighs fresh, knees modestly kissing, touching. Bring all your power of fascination to bear on them. Pander to their Gomorrean. You know, Sodom and Gomorrah, the cities of the plain with the vicious inhabitants. And pander comes from Pandarus in Troilus and Cressida, and that means a pimp, somebody who deals with women, to pander. Did we stop here? No, I don't know.
No, a little bit more. Until Echo Street.
No. You tell me when you come. Bruton Bench's blushing face in his armpit and simpers with forefinger mouth, probably like a baby. Oh, I know what you're hinting at now. Hello. What else are you good for, an impotent thing like you? Stoops and peering, pokes with his fan rudely under the fat Stuart folder blooms, haunches up, up. A Manx cat has no tail. What have we been? Where's your curly teapot gone to? Curly teapot is penis. Teapot, we had this earlier in the chapter, is often a substitute word. You say teapot for something else. But here it seems to substitute for penis. Gone. Or who you docked it on, cock yolly. So ironically, bellow as man speaks to bloom as a woman, that she is of bad potency, doesn't do the man's job. Quite complicated. Sing, birdie, sing. It's as limp as a boy of six doing his pool behind the cart. Buy a bucket or sell your pump. Loudly. Can you do a man's job? And Bloom then says, Eccles Street. Why he mentions Eccles Street, I don't know. Now you take over.
Bellow sarcastically, I wouldn't hurt your feelings for the world, but there's a man of brawn in possession there. The tables are turned, my gay young fella. He is something like a full-grown outdoor man. Well for you, you muff, if you had that weapon with knobs and lumps and warts all over it. He shot his bolt, I can tell you. Foot to foot, knee to knee, belly to belly, bubs to breast. He's no eunuch. A shock of red hair he has sticking out of him behind a kafur's bush. Wait for 9 months, my lad. Holy ginger, it's kicking and coughing up and down in our guts already. That makes you wild, don't it? Touches the spot. He spits in contempt. Spittoon! Bloom. I was indecently treated. I informed the police. £100. Unmentionable. I... Bellow. Would if you could, lame duck. A downpour we want, not your drizzle. Bloom. To drive me mad, Moll. I forgot. Forgive. Moll. We... Stills. Bellow, ruthlessly. No, Leopold Bloom. All is changed by woman's will. Since you slept horizontal in Sleepy Hollow, your night of 20 years, return and see. Old Sleepy Hollow calls over the world. Sleepy Hollow. Rip Van Winkle! Rip Van Winkle! Bloom. In tattered moccasins with a rusty fowling piece, tiptoeing, finger-tipping, his haggard, bony, bearded face peering through the diamond panes, cries out, "I see her, it's she! The first night at Matt Dillon's, but that dress, the green, and her hair is dyed gold, and he..." Bello laughs mockingly. "That's your daughter, Yael, with a Mullingar student!" Millie Bloom, fair-haired, green-vested, slim-sandaled, her blue scarf in the sea wind simply swirling, breaks from the arms of her lover and calls, her young eyes wander wide. Millie.
"My, it's Papley, but, oh, Papley, how old you've grown."
Bello. "Changed, eh? Our whatnot, our writing table where we never wrote, Aunt Hegarty's armchair, our classic reprints of old masters, a man and his men friends are living there in clover. The cook is rest, why not? How many women had you, say, following them up dark streets, flat-foot, exciting them by your smothered grunts, what? You male prostitutes, blameless dames with parcels of groceries, turn about, sauce for the goose, my gander, oh." Bloom.
Okay. Eccles Street. Hello, sarcastically. "I wouldn't hurt your feelings for the world, but there's a man of brawn, that means a strong man, muscular, in possession there. The tables are turned, my ye young fellows." This chapter, most tables are turned, perverted. "My ye young fellow." He is something like a full-grown outdoor man. "Well, for you, you muff, if you had that weapon with knobs and lumps and warts all over it, he shot his boat, I can tell you. Foot to foot, knee to knee, belly to belly, breast to breast. He's no eunuch. We had eunuchs before. A shock of red hair he has sticking out of him behind like a furze bush. That is often the devil in a black mass. From behind with the red hair. Wait for 9 months, my lord." Holy ginger, Broom is pregnant. It's kicking and coughing up and down in her guts already. That makes you wild, don't it? Touches the spot. He spits in contempt, as the citizen did long ago, Spittoon. "Broom, I was indecently treated. I informed the police. £100, unmentionable. I..." "Hello. Would, if you could, lame duck. A downpour we want, not your drizzle." "Room to drive me mad. More, I forget. Forgive. More, we still..." "Hello. No, Leopold Bloom. All is changed. By women's will, since you slept horizontal in Sleepy Hollow, your night of 20 years, return and see." This is a story, Sleepy Hollow, by, I forget who it, Longfellow or somebody, American author, of Rip Van Winkle, who went out hunting and slept in Sleepy Hollow. Well, that's a similar story, and returned after 20 years, quite old. The 20 years are, of course, the absence of Odysseus also in the Odyssey. Return and see. Old Sleepy Hollow calls over the world. Sleepy Hollow, Rip Van Winkle. Rip, and remember, they once played charades, Rip Van Winkle. Because you can illustrate it with a rip, with a van, and a periwinkle. Bloom, and now it's in the traditional figure of Rip Van Winkle, in tattered moccasins with a rusty fowling piece, that was the word for the gun, tiptoeing, finger-tipping, his haggard, bony, bearded face peering through the diamond panes. Now, diamond panes, they come from Stratford, where Shakespeare's wife, as Stephen says, is hidden behind the diamond panes. So that story comes in, rises out. "I see her. She, my first night at McDillan's. That's where Bloom and Molly met. But the dress, the green, she wore a green dress. And her hair is dyed in gold, and he, Bellow laughs mockingly. That's your daughter, you owl, with a Mullingar student. You know that, Millie,
das ist Fritz.
Got the attention of a Mullingar student, Bannon. Millie Bloom, fair-haired, green-vested, slim-sandaled. Her blue scarf in the sea wind, as Bloom remembers her once on a ship where she wasn't afraid. She'd been simply swirling. That is the girl, this pretty little seaside girl, your head it simply swirls, breaks from the arm of her lover and calls, your young eyes wonder wide. Millie, my, it's Papli. That's the way she wrote to her father, Papli. But, oh, Papli, how old you've grown. As though she were your daughter to Rip Van Winkle, who comes home much much older. Bellow, change. Our whatnot, our writing table, where you never wrote. A whatnot is a little table. Aunt Hegarty's armchair. Aunt Hegarty, that's probably a relative of Bloom, armchair. Our classic reprint of Old Masters. It looks as though you saw an interior of a house. A man and his men friends are living there in clover. Living clover is in good spirits, well off, well nourished and all of that. The cuckoo's rest. Cuckoo, of course, is called the cuckold. Cuckoo's rest, wait a moment. Why not? How many women had you, say, following them up our streets flatfoot, exciting them by your smothered grunts? This is Peaks in Circe. What, you male prostitute, nameless dames with parts of groceries, turn about, sauce for the goose, my gander. You know the expression, what sauce for the goose is sauce for the gander, both the male and the female shall have the same thing. My gander, oh, sounds like a song, that is. Bloom, they, I think that's the place. No.
Turn about, sauce for the goose, my gander, oh, Bloom. They, I, Bellow, cuttingly. Their heel marks will stamp the Brusselette carpet you bought at Wren's auction. In their horseplay with Moll, the rump to find the book flea in her breeches, they will deface the little statue you carried home in the rain for art's sake. They will violate the secrets of your bottom drawer. Pages will be torn from your handbook of astronomy to make them pipe spills, and they will spit in your 10-shilling brass fender from Hampton Leedham's. Bloom, 10 and 6, the act of low scoundrels. Let me go, I will return, I will prove. Lynch, embracing Kitty on the sofa, chants deeply. No, a voice. Swear! Bloom clenches his fists and crawls forward, a bowie knife between his teeth. Bellow. As a paying guest or a kept man. Too late. You have made your second best bed, and others must lie in it. Your epitaph is written. You are down and out, and don't you forget it, old bean. Bloom. Justice, all out in verses one. Has nobody... He bites his thumb. Bellow. Die and be damned to you, if you've any sense of decency or grace about you. I can give you a rare old wine that'll send you skipping to hell and back. Sign a will and leave us any coin you have. If you have none, see you damn well. Get it, steal it, rob it. We'll bury you in our shrubbery, Jake's, where you'll be dead and dirty with L. Cook Cohen, my step-nephew I married, the bloody L. Goaty procurator and sodomite with a crick in his neck, and my other 10 or 11 husbands, whatever the bugger's names were, suffocated in the one cesspool. He explodes in a loud, phlegmy laugh. We'll manure ya, Mr. Flower, he pipes scoffingly. Bye-bye, Poldies. Bye-bye, Papli. Bloom clasps his head. My willpower, memory, I have sinned. I have suffered. He weeps tearlessly. Bellow sneers. Cry, Babby. Crocodile tears. Bloom, broken, closely veiled for the sacrifice, sobs, his face to the earth. The passing bell is heard. Dark-shawled figures of the circumcised, in sackcloth and ashes, stand by the wailing wall. M. Shalomovitz, Joseph Goldwater, Moses Herzog, Harris Rosenberg, M. Moisel, J. Citron, Minnie Watchman, O. Mastiansky, the Reverend Leopold Abramovitz Chazen. With swaying arms, they wail in Numa over the recreant bloom. The circumcised, in a dark guttural chant, as they cast Dead Sea fruit upon him, no flowers.
Shema Israel, Adonai Eloheinu, Adonai Echad.
The voice is sighing.
So he's gone. Ah, yes, yes, indeed, Bloom. Never heard of, no, queer kind of chap. There's the widow. That's so, ah, yes.
From the sooty pyre, the flame of gum campfire ascends. The pall of incense smoke screens and disperses. Out of her oak frame, a nymph with hair unbound, lightly clad in tea-brown art colours, descends from her grotto, and passing under interlacing yews, stands over Bloom. The yews, their leaves whispering.
Sister, our sister.
Shh, the nymph, softly.
Mortal,
kindly.
Nay, dost not weepest.
Bloom crawls jellily forward under the boughs, streaked by sunlight with dignity.
This position, I felt it was expected of me, force of habit.
The nymph,
mortal,
you found me in evil company, high kickers, Costa picnic makers, pugilists, popular generals, immoral panto boys in flesh tights, and the nifty shimmy dancers, La Aurora and Carini, musical act, the hit of the century. I was hidden in cheap pink paper that smelt of rock oil. I was surrounded by the stale smut of clubmen, stories to disturb callow youth, ads for transparencies, trued-up dice and bus pads, proprietary articles, and why wear a truss with testimonial from ruptured gentlemen, useful hints to the married. Bloom lifts a turtle head towards her lap.
We have met before, on another star.
The nymph, sadly.
Rubber goods, never rip, branders applied to the aristocracy, corsets for men, IQ fits or money refunded, unsolicited testimonials for Professor Waldman's wonderful chest exuber. My bust developed 4 inches in 3 weeks, reports Mrs. Gus Rublin, with photo.
Bloom, you mean photo bits?
The nymph, I do. You bore me away, framed me in oak and tinsel, set me above your marriage couch. Unseen, one summer eve, you kissed me in 4 places, and with loving pencil, you shaded my eyes, my bosom, and my shame.
Bloom humbly kisses her long hair.
Your classic curves, beautiful, immortal. I was glad to look on you, to praise you, a thing of beauty, almost to pray.
The nymph, during dark nights, I heard your praise. Bloom, quickly, yes, yes, you mean that I... Sleep reveals the worst side of everyone, children, perhaps, except I know I fell out of my bed, or rather was pushed. Steel wine is set cure, snoring. For the rest of it is that English invention, pamphlet of which I received some days ago, incorrectly addressed. It claims to afford a noiseless, inoffensive vent. He sighs. 'Twas ever thus. Frailty, thy name is marriage. The nymph, her fingers in her ears.
And words, they are not in my dictionary.
Bloom, you understood them? The ewes, shh. The nymph covers her face with her hand.
What have I not seen in that chamber? What must my eyes look down on?
Bloom, apologetically, I know, soiled personal linen, wrong side up with care. The quoits are loose, from Gibraltar by long sea, long ago. The nymph bends her head.
Worse, worse.
Bloom reflects precautiously. That antiquated commode. It wasn't her weight. She scaled just 11 stone 9. She put on 9 pounds after weaning. It was a crack in want of glue, eh? And that absurd orange-keyed utensil, which has only one handle.
My gander, oh, they, I think that's where I pick up. Yes. Bellow, cuttingly. Their heel marks will stamp the bracelet carpet you bought at Wren's auction, the carpet. In their horseplay with mould the rump to find the buck flea in her breeches, some kind of game. They will deface the little statue you carried home in the rain, Archer said. We will know later, I believe, that Bloom has a statue of Narcissus that he got at an auction. They will violate the secrets of your bottom drawer. The drawer, of course, in the sense of underclothes, but also in a chest, there are several drawers. Pages will be torn from your handbook of astronomy, something in his library, to make them pipe spills. And they will spit in your 10-shilling brass fender from Hampton's Leadums. That is a shop, of course. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Room 10 and 6. The act of low scoundrels. Let me go. I return. I will prove. Then a voice says, swear. And that is, of course, Hamlet's ghost that says, swear, at the beginning there, swear. Bloom clenches his fists and crawls forward, a Bowie knife between his teeth. Bowie knife you have in adventure stories. I think it's something American. I forget. Hello. As a paying guest or a kept man, too late. You have made your second best bed and others must lie in it. You know, you have made your bed and you must lie in it, is your phrase. The second best bed is from the will of Hamlet, of Shakespeare, in the Shakespeare discussion. They talk that Shakespeare, in his will, gave the second best bed to his wife, a widow. So that's an echo. You are down and out, and don't you forget it, old bean. That sounds a bit like American. Ooh, justice. All Ireland versus one. That is a team, football, rugby, whatever, over... All Ireland against another team. Has nobody? He bites his thumb. Hello. Die and be damned to you if you have any sense of decency or grace about you. I can give you a rare old wine that'll send you skipping to hell and back. Sign a will, now that on the matter of testament, and leave us any coin you have. If you have none, see you damn well get it. Steal it, rob it. We'll bury you in our shrubbery jakes. Jakes is that kind of primitive outdoor toilet. Where you'll be dead and dirty with old cuck coon. Cuck has to do with defecating. It also reminds you of cuckold, and Cohen is again that Jewish name. My step nephew, I married, the bloody old gouty procurator and sodomite with a crick in his neck. A sodomite, again from Sodom and Gomorrah, is the word of a homosexual. It's a word that came into circulation again when Oscar Wilde was charged with it, with a crick in his neck, and my other 10 or 11 husbands, whatever the bugger's name were, bugger, no, just a swear word, originally from Bulgarian, it also means homosexual, but often it's no longer used in that specific sense, suffocated, and the one cesspool. He explodes in a loud, phlegmy laugh. We'll manure you, Mr. Flower. He pipes scoffingly. Bye-bye, Poldy. Bye-bye, Puppy. Bloom claps his hands. My willpower, memory. I have sinned. I have suffered. And you remember, these were the meanings underlaid to what the priest has on his back. IHS. I have suffered. I have sinned, which is not what he means, of course. He came on in the fifth chapter. He weeps tearlessly. Hello, cry baby. Crocodile tears are, as you know, not genuine tears. But it's another animal. Room broken, closely veiled for the sacrifice, sobs his face to the earth. The passing bell is heard. Dark-souled figures of the circumcised. So now this is a Jewish funeral. Of the circumcised in sackcloth and ashes. You know, sackcloth is when you repent, when you dress in sackcloth, a rough garment, and pull ashes on your head. Stand by the wailing wall. So we have the Jewish element. And these are all the Jewish names. Mr. Shulomovitz, Joseph Goldwater, is in the book. Moses Herzog, we had in the Cyclops chapter. Harris Rosenberg, Mr. Moisel, J. Citron. These are names that Blue remembers from his youth. Minnie Watchman, O. Mastiansky. The Reverend Leopold Abramovich, Chazan is the one who is going to be chairing the meetings. With swaying arms, they wail in Numa over the Requiem room. Numa, there's a lot of that. Chazan is a reader. Yeah. Numa, the Requiem room, because Blum has lost his Jewish belief, if he ever had it. The circumcised in the dark guttural chant, the Hebrew is very guttural, actually German, as they cast deadly fruit upon him, no flowers, they pelt him with fruit. And then they say that the prayer, Shema Israel Adonai Eleinu Adonai Echad, that is a traditional prayer for a dying Jew. Then voices sighing. It seems that his Jewish acquaintances of old no longer remember him. So he's gone. I asked, yes indeed, Blum, never heard of him. No, queer kind of chap. There's the widow. That's her. Ah, yes. So it means they don't know him, ignorance. From the Sati pyre, and that's the Indian customs of burning widows, I believe, flame of gum campfire ascends. The pall of incense smoke screams and disperses. Out of her oak frame, a nymph with hair unbound, lightly clad in tea brown art colors, descends from the grotto and passing under blazing hues, stands over Blum. You know, from the fourth Blum chapter, that they have the bath of the nymph over the bed, and that is now, and Blum said that the colors are a little bit washed, tea a bit brown. They weren't good on color prints in those days. So this is the nymph over Blum's bed. The ewes, their leaves whispering, sister, sister, sister. Now the nymph says softly, mortal. And that is what Homeric gods always say when they speak. They often do, but they are aware of their rank and speak mortal, kindly. Nay. Dost not weepest. That is sort of over Shakespearing, Shakespeare, second singular. Bloom crawls jellily forward under the boughs, streaked by sunlight with dignity. This position, I felt it was expected of me, force of habit. Might refer to what he was doing in bed and was watched. The nymph, mortal. You found me in evil company, high kickers, Costa picnic makers, pugilist boxers, popular generals, immortal panto boys in flash tights, boys in pantomime who wore flush tights. There was never any nakedness, but they were wearing tights. And the nifty shimmy dancers. Now, Aurora and Carini, I think they have been discovered in a musical act, the hit of the century. I was hidden in cheap pink paper that smelt of rock oil. I was surrounded by the stale smut of clubmen, stories to the Vitalo youth, asked for transparencies. Truced up dice, truced up is that you can use for cheating, doctored or something, and bus pads, proprietary articles, and why were a truss? Trusses were against ruptures, I believe, with testimonials from ruptured gentlemen. Useful hints to the married. They also have the kind of things that you could buy under the counter. Bloom lifts a turtle head towards her lap. I don't get the turtle lap, what that is. We have met before on another star. That's the idea of metempsychosis. The nymph, sadly, rubber goods, contraceptives, never rip. They better don't. Brand the supply to the aristocracy. Courses for men. Curse fits. Cure. I cure fits and or money refunded. Unsolicited testimonials. Professor Waldman's wonderful chest extruder. You could obviously expand your chest. My bust developed 4 inches in 3 weeks, reports Mrs. Gus Rublin with photo. So there were a lot of these kind of things that you could have for sale, usually ordered from Charing Cross in London. Not easy to get in Ireland. Blue, you mean photo bits? The nymph, I do. You bore me away, framed me in oak and tinsel, set me above the marriage couch. Yeah, the nymph is all over the bed. Unseen, one summer eve, you kissed me in 4 places. And with loving pencil, you shaded my eyes, my bosom, and my shame. Bloom humbly kisses her long hair. Your classic curves, beautiful, immortal. Bloom has been thinking of Greek goddesses' curves earlier on. I was glad to look on you, to praise you, a thing of beauty. That's, of course, Keats, a thing of beauty is a joy forever, almost a prime. The nymph, during dark nights, I heard your praise. Oh, quickly, yes. You mean that I? Sleep reveals worst side of everyone, children perhaps excepted. I know I fell out of my bed, or rather was pushed. Steel wine is said to cure snoring. For the rest, there is that English invention, pamphlet of which I received some days ago incorrectly addressed. We hear about that later. That's a cure for flatulence. It comes on quite big later on. It claims to afford a noiseless, inoffensive vent. He sighs, whatever thus, frailty, thy name is marriage. The name. Her fingers and words, they are not in my dictionary. Like Bloom writing a word to Martha Clifford that she pretends not to understand. You understood that? The youth. Nymph covers her face with her hand. What have I not seen in that chamber? What must my eyes look down on? Bloom, apologetically, I know. Soiled personal linen, wrong side up with care. Soiled, it seems that Bloom likes soiled linen And we know from Joyce's letters to Nora that he also did. Wrong side up with care. The quoits are loose. Remember that these brass rings, the quoits, are jingling. From Gibraltar, long sea ago. That's what Bloom thinks. The bed is from Gibraltar. The nymph then died. Worse. Bloom reflects precautiously. That antiquated commode, that is the chamber pot. It wasn't her weight. She scaled just 11 stone 9. She put on 9 pounds after weaning. It was a crack and want of glue. Obviously, the chamber pot broken had to be glued. And that other absurd orange key utensil, which has only one handle. And remember, that is the chamber pot they have now. And when Murray in the bedroom pointed out the book, it was leaning against the chamber pot with an orange decoration with one handle. Then you hear the sound of waterfalls heard right at scale, because Joyce often refers to the noise that is made when one urinates into a pot. That comes up quite a bit. The sound of water is heard in bright cascade. I think that's where we are. Okay.
The sound of a waterfall is heard in bright cascade. The waterfall.
Pula fuka, pula fuka, pula fuka, pula fuka.
The ewes mingling their boughs. Listen, whisper, she is right, our sister. We grew by Poolafuka waterfall. We gave shade on languorous summer days. John Wise Nolan, in the background, in Irish National Forester's uniform, doffs his plumed hat. Prosper, give shade on languorous days, trees of Ireland. The ewes murmuring. Who came to Poolafuka with a high school excursion? Who left his nut-questing classmates to seek our shade? Bloom. Pigeon-breasted, bottle-shouldered, padded in nondescript juvenile grey and black striped suit, too small for him, white tennis shoes, boarded stockings with turnover tops, and a red school cap with badge. I was in my teens, a growing boy. A little then sufficed, a jolting car, the mingling odours of the ladies' cloakroom and lavatory, the throng penned tight on the old royal stairs for the love-crushers, instincts of the herd, and the dark sex-selling theatre on bridal's vice. Even a price list of their hosiery, and then the heat. There were sunspots that summer, end of school, and tipsy cake. Halcyon days. Halcyon days, high school boys in blue and white football jerseys and shorts. Master Donald Turnbull, Master Abraham Chatterton, Master Owen Goldberg, Master Jack Meredith, Master Percy Apjohn, stand in a clearing of the trees and shout to Master Leopold Bloom. The halcyon days. Mackerel! Live us again! Hooray! They cheer. Bloom, hobbledy-hoy, warm-gloved, mama muffled, stunned with spent snowballs, struggles to rise. Again, I feel 16. What a lark. Let's ring all the bells in Montague Street. He cheers feebly. Hooray for the high school. The echo. Fool. The ewes rustling. She is right, our sister. Whisper. Whispered kisses are heard in all the wood. Faces of hamadryads peep out from the boles and among the leaves and break blossoming into bloom. Who profaned our silent shade? The nymph, coyly through parting fingers. There, in the open air. The ewes sweeping downward. Sister, yes, and on our virgin sward. Bellow whistles loudly. Say, what was the most revolting piece? The waterfall.
They're going back. Stop here.
Okay.
Yeah, I think you're on. Is it one handle. The sound of a waterfall is heard in bright cascade. The waterfall. Pula fuka. There is such a thing in the course of the Liffey. It means the pool of the fuka, and fuka is a kind of ghost. It's the same word as puck in Shakespeare. So Fuca, they're sort of night creatures. Pula Fuca, Pula Fuca, Pula Fuca. So that's a place where quite scenic, where you can go for the excursion. The youths, mingling their boughs, listen, whisper, she's right, our sister. We grew by Pula Fuca waterfall, we gave shade on languorous summer days. Now, John Wise Nolan, he's a national forester. He's interested in woods. He spoke about that in Cyclops. In the background, in the Irish National Forest uniform, doffs his plumed hat, prosper, give, shade on languorous days, trees of Ireland, that's also a song. Then the youths are often on funeral and cemeteries, murmuring. Who came to Pula Fuca with a high school excursion? Who left his nut-questing classmates to seek our shade? So obviously on a school excursion, he separates from the others and wandered around. So Bloom, pigeon-breasted, bottle-shouldered, padded, in nondescript juvenile grey and black striped suit, too small for him, white tennis shoes, bordered stockings with turned up tops, and the red school cap with badge. So that's a memory of a school trip. I was in my teens, a growing boy, a little unsubsticed, a jolting car. And this here is a list of what could be exciting in a time that didn't have all over the place, the sexual excitement and things to look at that we have now. So their limit of excitement was, as we would find, very low. Anything would do. A little entry, a jolting car, the mingling odors of the ladies' cloakroom and lavatory, the throng pent tight on the royal stairs, the theatre, for they love crushes, instinct of the herd, and the dark, sex-smelling theatres, unbridled vice, even the priceless of their hosiery, and then the heat. There were sunspots that summer, end of school, a tipsy cake, that must be a cake with some alcohol in, halcyon days. Now, halcyon days, that occurred in the Nausicaa chapter, a picture of halcyon days. Halcyon days are in the winter, as now, when they're usually around the Simisalt. There are a few mild days, and they are devoted to halcyon, the kingfisher. There's actually a very sad story behind it, but here they mean days of relative lull, when nothing is too bad, halcyon days. Now, the halcyon days, high school boys in blue and white football jerseys and shorts, and these are the names now of his classmates, some names we've heard, others not. Master Donald Thornball, Master Abraham Chatterton, Master Owen Goldberg, Master Jack Meredith, Master Percy Apjohn, stand on a clearing of the trees and shout to Master Leopold Bloom. The halcyon days say mackerel. Now, in the eighth chapter, where Bloom is on his way to Lynch, he remembers that they were climbing trees and they called him mackerel. And we really do not know what the name means. We know it's a pimp in French. But I don't think that Irish schoolboys know this term, mackerel, a fish. Leave us again. Hooray, the cheer. Bloom, hobbledehoy, warm gloved, mamma, muffled, stunned with spent snowballs, streakles to rise. Obviously, death was not. Again, I feel 16. What a lark. Let's ring all the bells in Montague Street. These are kind of pranks. He cheers feebly, hooray for the high school. And the echo says, fool. School, fool. The youth rustling. She's right, our sister whisper. Whispered kisses are heard in all the wood. Faces of Hamadryads, these are three nymphs in Greek mythology. Hamadryads peep out from the boles and among the leaves and break blossoming into bloom. So you see, they come from trees. Who profaned our silent shade? The nymph, coyly through parting fingers. There, in the open air, parting fingers is, you pretend you don't want to see, but you can see. In open air, the youth, sweeping down, sister, yes, and on our virgin sword, that is a well-treated lawn. And the waterfall goes again, Pula Fuca, Pula Fuca, Pula Fuca, Pula Fuca. Is that where we are? Good? Oh, yeah, I think that comes to an end here. We might, it's easy to remember and to find. And then, and we do meet in next year then, not this case. And I hope you find a good one and maybe even a better one than the one that's on the way out now. Okay, all the best.
And the best, night. Thank you. Yeah. Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Thank you.